Welcome back, WNST and Baltimore Positive. It is episode 100, Don Mueller.
It is a milestone. What do you think?
Well, you know,
100 episodes in.
Yeah, you know what? I'll get my Strategic Factory. By the way, big thanks to Strategic Factory for hooking us up with all this cool swag and new stuff. We got hats. We got sweatshirts.
We're styling here at Baltimore Positive.
You know? So episode 100 starts where we began, which is we've done 99 episodes now, where it's just been like another guest, not just you and me. So it's been 99. We haven't done any sports together. We haven't talked at all about the Ravens this year.
We will break that rule today. We'll talk. We're going to do a little Ravens today.
All right. Well,
let's jump. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. It's episode 100. I want you to.
Well, it is amazing, Nestor. And I think, you know, as we go through this, we always joke that there's never a straight line on Baltimore Positive, and there certainly won't be in the 100th episode, where we really talk a little bit about how we got involved in this. We'll talk about our incredible sponsors.
Started a year ago this week.
And the fact
it started at your house on Thanksgiving last
year. Yes, it did.
And you were the county executive at the time.
Interesting, Nestor. I was thinking as I was coming into the studio today, that as we film, we don't ever usually put a timestamp on these, but this is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, so we'll break that rule as well. And I was thinking,
and I'm headed to Asia,
on his way to Asia. Is going to be great content while he's away. But you talk about time, and you talk about it flying by. That 1 year ago today, I had 1 day left on the job as county executive.
Wow.
Monday of this week.
The last day of the best job you ever had.
One of the best, certainly a fabulous job. I was really pleased last week. I spoke to Career Day at Catonsville High School and to Tracy Remert and Principal Matt Ames. Phenomenal job they do over there the day before Thanksgiving, bringing in 120 people to talk to the Catonsville students about careers. That's one of the things students ask. They said, what was your best job? Because when I go through my resume, it sounds like I could never keep a job. I've had so many jobs. But I said to them, I'm one of those guys that's been blessed, probably like you for the most part, that I never had a job that I didn't enjoy. And that was when I speak to students.
I had one job I didn't enjoy when I was a kid.
Well, I was funny.
I worked at a hospital for a doctor doing research on mycosis fungoides. I'm not making this up. And I did it for 2 weeks, and I couldn't work in file cabinets that. When my other job was being in the sports department.
And you learned something about yourself. I did have one job I didn't like. Also, as a teenager, I worked at an animal hospital, and you had to take care of dogs and cats that didn't want to be there, and it just wasn't pleasant. And it's not that I don't like dogs and cats. Yeah. It just wasn't pleasant. So you're right. So the one thing that I always try to leave students with, I tell them, I say, look, try to be as smart as you can and focus on the soft skills. And they don't quite know what soft skills are. And I say, look, it's really about, and God, Harbaugh talks about this all the time, right? It's really about who you are. Be a good person. Try to be kind. If you commit to something, see it through. Show up on
things
time.
Things your parents told you to
Yeah,
do.
It is all that kindergarten stuff, you know? And if you do that...
Didn't your daughter put a note up on a wall about lessons for life?
It was.
And they were all this
I should have pulled it up.
Sort of keep your word, be on time.
It's not complicated. It's what your mom taught you. And you think of that does tie, really, Nestor. I'm going to take you back to something
you
said.
Well, it's the same advice you gave me in 1982 when I met you. I mean, distinctly remember you being a guidance counselor, me talking about colleges and what I was going to do with my life, and you told me I was going to be the next Chris Thomas. But even at that point in life, the best advice was keep your word, always try your hardest, be on time.
Yeah, be nice to people.
Be nice to people. Try to help other people. When you ask them, maybe they'll help you.
Be courteous.
Well,
so that gets us back. It really does take us back. A year ago, as you said, you were at Thanksgiving at my house amidst all the chaos. If you ever want to see chaos and need to define the word, come to the Moeller House.
Moeller and
on Thanksgiving.
Everybody's related.
It's about as chaotic as it can get. But you and I got talking. My term was coming to an end. You were not, I don't think it's fair to say tired of sports, but it was time for you to do something different.
Well,
you live in the city. I want you to talk about that.
Well,
because
the Orioles don't want me in business. You know, right. I think sports in a general sense, nationally, if you watch the NFL Network or go to Ravens.com, they would far prefer to cover themselves than to have real media. In the same way, we have a president who has deemed everyone the enemy. I don't think sports has done that, but there's an us versus them in regard to the Orioles think I'm out to get them. It's an unbelievable premise.
And there's
30 years into this that they think I'm out to get them when I've been trying to help their business all along by forcing them to be front-facing, forcing them to be transparent, forcing them to keep their word, to show up on time, to try hard, to be honest. All of these things my father wanted for me, that they've broken every rule. Peter Angelos has broken every one of those rules, and all I've done is hold a light on it, and for that, I've been castigated. So from a sports perspective of having done this 30 years, I'm wondering what the next 20 years look like. Because we have 20 months left on a baseball lease. I know you think it's set in stone that the Orioles are here forever, and I hope they are.
Listen, that's one of the things that I think.
I watched the Colts leave.
I watched
the Arena Football League fold last week.
I cried.
I've seen empty seats the last 3 years. I mean, I see a first-place Ravens team 2 weeks ago against Houston with empty seats.
Well, you and I disagree on the attendance issue with the Ravens. And one of the things I hope people enjoy about Baltimore Positive is that you and I don't agree on everything. For example, we don't agree on the future of the Orioles. We can get into that later. We can talk about the excitement.
That's the beauty of Baltimore. We've talked about this at length with Ron Shapiro. We talked about that at length with Paul Taberzi, right?
Right.
Like, we talked about that at length with Dick Cass.
Correct.
About the future. So, I mean, part of Baltimore Positive has been, yeah, there's been some Kerwin. Yeah, there's been some politics. Yeah, there's been some Trump. Yeah, but I think we've touched. Sports is important here.
Oh,
it's the reason
it's,
I'm here, right?
I think, and again, I want to jump back to the whole idea of where Baltimore Positive was really born a year ago. And then we can jump into the Ravens, because I do think there is a connection. There is a community psyche that develops when a team really excels. And I also think we can learn from the Ravens principles of excellence and what happens when you really have a passion to be great, which I think everyone in that organization does. But we jump back to 1 year ago, and you know, we're sitting there, we're probably eating pumpkin pie, and you say, you know, let's think about what we can do. You're going to have some time on your hands. You don't want to stop working. I want to branch out beyond sports. And the way I categorize it, Nestor, is you're a city guy. You live in Baltimore City. People who've listened to our podcast, and again, a shameless self-promotion here. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do. Anywhere you get
your
podcast.
We're here to stay.
Anywhere you get your podcast, Baltimore Positive, or go to baltimorepositive.com, but please subscribe. We believe in the city, and you said a year ago, look, I live in the city. I'm invested in the city. I walk miles and miles and miles around this city every week. And I want this city to be great again. And I believe in the city. I think that's one thing, Nestor, that people would be, I don't know if the word is surprised, but I think they're intrigued by how much you want this city to be great.
Well, Billick always tells this story about a chicken and a pig. You know that story? They're both having breakfast, right? They're both involved in the breakfast, but the chicken lays the egg and moves on.
Right.
The pig's committed. The pig's in the meal, right? I own a condo in the middle of the city that's worth far less than it should be worth, far less than what I paid for it, far less than what I have invested in it. I own an AM radio station that reaches nothing but local people. And everywhere I go, I mean, look, we're a couple of days out on Thanksgiving. I'm in Los Angeles in the top of the LA Memorial Coliseum where the Colts once played, right? Where Johnny U played on this field, Super Bowl I. I'm seeing Los Angeles. I see the Hollywood sign. And I'm looking down on my computer. The game starts. And Booger McFarland is sitting 15 yards away from me down the press box. We took the elevator up. I saw him in the bathroom before the game. The
I know where you're going.
And if the narrative when our football team's 9-2 and we have the Michael Jordan of the modern era, or at least of the moment, right? We have the Fernando mania of the moment. We hope it lasts 100 years.
Jordan-esque, it's Tiger-esque, it's all of those things.
All of those things. And maybe it's Jim Traber. I don't know. Maybe it only lasts a month or a year.
Let's hope not.
Right? But we're in the middle of this incredibly special thing that's going on for our city, our community, our football team, the rallying of something good happening for Baltimore, and it's being broadcast. If you're watching it and the sound is up and you're not in a sports bar, one of our sponsors, if you were over at State Fair, Jennings, or wherever listening,
yeah,
you're hearing about how gangster we are and how we're a gangster city and we're run by gangsters, and this television show that was made 20 years ago by a person I like and respect. I know a guy that, you know, we've all read, and I like David lives
and
here.
We know David,
I like David
Simon.
I worked with David 30 right. years ago. Nothing wrong with David. David made a piece of semi-autobiographical fiction put in our city, set to our city the 20 years later, with a mayor that's now going to prison again, and police who have been corrupt and proven corrupt, and after Freddie Gray, this was all written long before that, people are now putting that narrative together and making this something that greatly affects in a negative way all of us, every brick in our city, every person who's invested, every person like me that would love to be invested the rest of my life, and wondering what I'm going to find here in 10 or 20 more years if the next three mayors have, you know, stolen this, riot that, and prison and the FBI coming. Like, that cannot be the next narrative in the next decade of my life at 51,
and
because I've invested my whole life here.
And it's not.
It's the most important thing in my life. You know?
And you know what was actually encouraging, not only the fact that we're not yet a week out from when the Ravens literally for, the third or fourth week in a row, destroyed an opponent, this time a very good team out on the West Coast. You were out there when they just took apart the Rams.
They're playing the greatest football in 25 years. Yeah, I don't know. You can go back to the Unitas years when they had some 12-2s and 13-1s where they were a dominant organization in the 60s.
I don't remember. I certainly in Ray, and we've had great teams. I don't remember any run like this whatsoever. But what I was mentioning was that as Booger McFarland kept going on and on with the Wire versus Melrose Place, I mean, I got to the point where that if it were a drinking game, every time he mentioned the Wire, we'd have all been on the floor.
Yeah,
it was like, enough, Booger. And then at least people began to fire back. When people try to characterize Baltimore by only focusing on its challenges, and sometime in this discussion we'll get into our memories of the amazing Congressman Elijah Cummings, who passed away in the midst of our doing Baltimore positive.
We've had an incredible year to kick this off.
Oh,
I think
my
that's
goodness.
What I told you a year ago.
And
telling these stories and having the Barbara Mikulskis and the Dutch Reapers Burgers and the Bengals.
Thank you to Dutch. Yeah. Number one guest, Dutch. There can only be number one. You were our first guest. We're forever indebted to that. We're going to talk about the lessons.
Younger people involved. And we're talking about Brandon Scott. We're talking about Bill Ferguson. We're talking
about community leaders like Al Hathaway, Sarah Heminger. I mean, we've had incredible
Freeman
people. Freeman who just lit the place up. Wes Moore, who's going to be on in a couple of weeks, was on. We're going to be broadcasting in a couple of weeks.
Talked to great writers and Ron Shapiro and great
businessmen like Mark Wheel. I mean, Weller at Sagamore. Just incredible, incredible stuff. Because what we all know is that Baltimore is so much more than its challenges. And what you and I fire back at people regularly is we don't dispute that there's a crime problem. We don't dispute, And we'll talk about the mayoral candidates in a little bit.
But we're going to be
none
measured
of them,
by that murder rate.
None of them.
We've talked to Thru right. about oh. that. We've talked to Mayor Young about that.
Brandon.
We've talked to Brandon about that. We are measured by this murder right. rate thing that has to be addressed. The crime needs to be addressed. I see that the Ravens, and bravo to Steve Bisciotti and Dick Cass for stepping up.
Best
on the
organization in football.
The situation this week for the city. And, you know, we've seen Aaron Maben speak out. But speaking out about these challenges is how we get them solved, and being front-facing and running at them with true leadership is how this is going to get solved. And I think it was episode one where you coined the Baltimore positive phrase, which is the next mayor has to have a hatred
right.
of incompetence.
Right.
That's your line.
Absolutely.
Right?
And we'll talk about some examples of that. And for that, we and again, we say up front, and we'll talk a little bit about you're possible, we'll tease it a little bit, whether you're at some point going to jump into public life or not. We don't take sides in this mayor's race, and our job is to bring them on and have them talk about their vision for Baltimore. But one of the things that we did sense when we had the current mayor on, Jack Young, was that there is some of that hatred of incompetence in him, and that comes across, and that's a good thing. What Baltimore Positive is all about is to say to folks, look, think about this city. Think about its healthcare system. The incredible.
Which saved my wife's life twice.
Oh, my goodness. And my grandson and University of Maryland and Hopkins and Mercy. We can go on
think
and
about
on.
About these universities. We talked
about the universities.
Rebecca. Sure.
Think about the arts and cultural institutions, whether it's the BMA or the Walters, the theater community from Center Stage to the Hippodrome to the Lyric to Everyman. We're probably forgetting some. The Baltimore Symphony, the
but
Meyer
some
Hall.
Some of that stuff's sexy, but Public Works is not sexy until
right.
you don't have water. Public Works isn't sexy until schools don't have heat. Bill Ferguson's telling us about him becoming a politician because he's shoveling snow from the inside of his classroom. So, you know, these stories, trying to get to the root of why people would want to serve, why I would want to turn my sports life after 30 years into pissing people off, talking about the president, talking about politics. I know that was something that concerned a lot of folks with me a year ago. I said, I'm now concerned if I don't talk about it. Because
right.
I saw the city on fire out my window 4.5 years ago, and my wife was recovering, and I didn't talk about it. Then my wife almost died again, and I didn't talk about it. And I feel cowardly in not talking about it during that period of time because I felt like I didn't know enough. And then even 2 years later, you become the county executive, and I say, I don't know enough. The only way I'm going to know enough is to find smarter people and ask them what's going on. And I would say, in my 51st year, thanks to you, I mean, you've brought all these people that's allowed me to ask these questions. And now when I go out on the street, wherever I am, people are talking to me in a different way. They'll talk to me about the Ravens, but they all have something to say about, the city's effed up, you can't fix it. It ain't never getting fixed, Nasty. It ain't never going to get fixed. I ain't never going back to Baltimore. I had Squeegee Boy. I hear it. I hear it.
Yeah. And
from
we don't,
Bel Air
and
Westminster to Pasadena. And we need to.
And we reject it.
We need to make the city a place that truly is hospitable, truly is safe, truly is welcoming for everyone. And the people that say they're not coming back, it's my charge to make them come back.
Well,
to make them want to come back, to make their children want to come back, to drag them back to the Inner Harbor, to drag them back down to a football, a baseball game, whatever, Model Lyric, whatever it is, and the aquarium and the science center, and to be a part of what's going on in our city. I mean, that's the thing, because I live here and I look out the window, Don. You know what I mean? I see when it's how vibrant it can be when celebrations here, when there's a 4th of July, when there's a light city,
right.
when there's a big Oriole game, when there's a big Raven game, when there's an anime convention, when there's any of that going on. This is a special place, and we need more of that, not less of that.
Well, and we absolutely, and one of the things you alluded to there, Nestor, is you said smart people. And one of the things you said 1 year ago, again, Thanksgiving Day 1 year ago, you said, I want to talk to smart people.
That's what I want to do.
You and I have joked that very often in this 8 months, as we've had Rhodes Scholar after Harvard graduate after Yale graduate.
I have been the dumbest person on every podcast.
After editors of the Harvard Law Review. It has been amazing. And you just look down. I'm just going to touch on some. But when you have Dutch Ruppersberger, Malia Cromer, Barbara Mikulski, Damian O'Doherty, Freeman Hrabowski, Don Fry, Fraser Smith.
We didn't mention John Sarbanes yet.
John Sarbanes. I mean, all the way down. I go all the way down. Ron Shapiro.
I mean, J.M. Shapiro.
Talk a little bit about what J.M. did with Baltimore Homecoming. Just spectacular.
Let me tell you what. I got involved in this thing back in August. I got an email that talked about making the city better in this event. It's the second year. It's Baltimore Homecoming. Please go. I mean, by all means, I can give you all the episode numbers. Go back into the episodes of the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. One of the reasons we're doing 100 today is really to say we've done a lot. There's an unending amount of literally 40, 50 hours worth of work.
Easy.
That
Senator Cardin, Senator Van Hollen, just go right down the list. It's amazing.
Well, we keep going back to Kerwin and education and crime, right? Like, so when we're talking about Baltimore Positive, the themes to me have been crime, education, leadership, right?
They jump out, and it's.
Am I missing one that would be? If that's the, is that the triangle? Crime, education, leadership. I obviously we put poverty, race, we put all sorts of things in there. But if we had,
well, I think they're all part of that.
Leaders, and we figured out crime and education. We would, if we could just make it 1% better a month. Right? Like literally 1% better a month. Think about where that is in 48 months.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
I think those are the themes. And then I would add a sub theme, and it's certainly one that Matt Gallagher drove home. And that is the importance of using data to inform decisions and holding people accountable. And I think there's a sense that in the city, we've gotten away from using data to hold people accountable. And I think, again, the nice thing about these, Nestor, I'm like you, when I go out and people have heard Baltimore Positive or they ask me about the podcast, I can say without any hesitation, I'll say to people, do yourself a favor, find it, go subscribe or go to the website and listen to it. Not because Nestor and I are entertaining. I hope we at least add something to the show.
We're talking too much in this episode.
Yeah, Nestor knows we talk way too much anyway in most episodes. We will get better as we go to episode 100. Nestor might not, but we're going to try to get better. But I tell them go because these are incredibly smart people who also believe in Baltimore City. And one of the things, you know what I think one of the other themes was.
One thing I didn't want people to do is come on here and politic their way through this and have it sound like NPR, you know? And I think at any point, being your past and your background and PR, that at any point, if it ever gets above 10% of that, I call BS on it because I don't like press conference talk. You know this. You ask me why I don't ask more questions. I'm not a press conference.
You and I can argue a little bit about that. I think
these have been very frank chats.
They are frank chats, and
that's where
you and I where you and I would disagree a little bit on that. And you're not alone as a member of the media. Is that sometimes when folks say what they're able to say and don't give you what you know might be just below the surface, it angers you when, for example, you're not. I don't expect John Harbaugh.
I knew it was going to come back.
Don't expect John Harbaugh to come out and speak in detail about injuries. I just don't.
20 years ago, when I would take phone calls all day Monday, asking why Ted Marchibroda just didn't say that Vinny Testaverde sucks or whatever, because fans expected that
you don't do that
in the modern era. We accept that as gospel, right? In the modern era, if a coach calls out a quarterback on a podium, it's kind of shame on the coach, right? Like literally.
Correct.
Right
now what yes, absolutely. But what you and I do agree on, and again, whether it's college classes that I speak to, whether it's business groups, whether it's high school kids, I typically write on the board or the whiteboard or whatever they have there, the truth is your friend. And I left Catonsville High School the other day talking
that
about
that. That was your steamboat, huh? That was what you put on the wall.
The truth is your friend. The bottom line is you cannot lie even once. It's you ask my kids, you know, I like to think that they may disagree that I wasn't a ranter and raver too much as a dad.
Give me
when
that
they
again.
Were,
I want to write that down and put that on the wall.
The truth is your friend.
The truth you is
don't,
your friend.
You don't get.
The truth is your friend. I got to write
you
that
don't
down.
Get one
I
lie.
I get that out of you in 1982.
The truth is your friend, man. That's it. And
it's because I wasn't in your history class.
I probably had in my 15 years in Baltimore County government. We have a great team out there, and Dutch always talks about the importance of teamwork. Probably had one sort of one discussion with a department head that bordered on me being angry with a department head who, when I looked into it, the truth is your friend, I felt had misled a reporter. And this was when I was communications director for Jim Smith. And as I got into the issue, I talked to the reporter, I talked to the department head, and it was clear to me that while you may be able to argue that it wasn't a lie, quote-unquote lie, clearly wasn't credible, and it tried to direct the reporter off the story. And I can remember saying to that department head, let's understand this. It's fine for you to say, I can't comment now. I have no comment. Reporters get that. They're professionals. But you don't get to mislead them. And that's where, and you and I talk about it, Nestor, we talk about not going in a straight line. In this 8 months, I mean, and again, some people aren't going to like this when we hear it. Some of your older sponsors aren't going to like it. People have heard me say it now over and over and over in almost every episode. Of the many horrific things that this president has done, and it's volumes. It's volumes.
And it's vile.
I mean, it's vile. It's ugly. It's not who we are. But one of the most horrific things that he's done is to try to turn the public against the media, thinking that the media doesn't tell the truth, that the media lies, that it's quote-unquote fake news, because the bedrock of a democracy is a free press. And you know, we're going to fight for that. We're going to advocate for that. That doesn't mean, again, that you always have to like everything that the media does. Listen,
the reason I'm here is a representation, you know, again, you know, and we can disagree. Peter Angelos has tried to put me out of business. Peter Angelos said that I am fake news, that I am not worthy of a press pass, that I'm not real media, and Stan Charles and others are. And that's his quote, not mine. You know, so that happened to me 13 years ago. As someone who has had his career and his livelihood and his reputation affected by that, I burr up greatly at that. And Baltimore Positive is part of my 50-year-old burr up of what I'm going to stand for and what I'm not going to stand for. And watching this president parade around in 2016 and 17, I decided in 2018 and 19 I needed to do something about it.
It's horrific.
This is where I am, and this is where Baltimore Positive. And if you know, if you liked it in 19, once we get to 20, I mean, I'll announce it right now. I mean, I am going to ramp up everything we're doing here in February, March, and April at WNST and Baltimore Positive when we get back from hopefully the Super Bowl that we win, right? I was not prepared for all that. After the parade.
I'll tell you, we may not have seen it coming. But
I'll make the announcement. After the parade and the buses come back, the NST buses, and we have the parade, I'm going to be turning all of WNST over in the spring to issues and really the 10 core issues that I'm going to be putting out on Baltimore Positive LC and our togetherness hashtag on crime, education, infrastructure, where our water comes from, who's teaching our children, what's the future of the city, what are we going to do with the Inner Harbor, what are we going to do with transportation, what did redlining really mean, and what's up with a public transit. What's up with City Center? All of these Baltimore issues need to be tackled, and they all need to be discussed because we're having a vote in the end of April, right? On the Democrats, or at least 93% of the population, having a vote in April. Also on whether it's going to be Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or Cory Booker or Klobuchar, whoever it's going to be, right? I don't any of these candidates, right? This is going to be a lively couple of months in the aftermath of the Super Bowl parade.
It's going to be amazing. You're going to do a lot of soul searching over the next few months. I think it's not going to be a surprise to people. You've talked about it, that you know you're trying to consider what's the best way to contribute and be part of the discussion in your city. I think it's no secret to folks that if I had my druthers, you know, I'd like to see you be an opinion leader, a thought leader. I think you bring a lot to the table. That way, you're going to consider that among other options, and we'll see where.
I'm wondering who the next mayor is going to be, and what does it mean for the city?
Well,
that's the core thesis of. I'm in it now because the next mayor greatly affects me in a way that when I was 37, honestly, when I was 45 and I saw fireballs in the sky, I said, you know what? They'll sort that out. You know, the politicians, the citizens, they'll all get together and we'll all... It's like Fred Rogers. You just saw the movie, right?
I loved it.
We're all just going to get together and fix it.
Maybe a little kindness, a little decency.
It didn't get fixed
on its own.
It didn't get fixed on its own. And we do need more kindness.
Well,
indeed. We also need someone not stealing from the people the way the last mayor did. We also need someone who has some vision for what the Inner Harbor needs to be and the Outer Harbor needs to be and the communities and the schools and the infrastructure and how we're going to dig up half the city and get CSX trains double stacked through the bottom of the city where that catching the city on fire. These are serious issues. And the baseball team, which is, you know, my purview of, hey, what's that next lease going to look like? Because they need a lease. They're 21 months out on that. And I remember when the Orioles were a big deal around here. So I got a lot on my mind.
So are we going to keep going? Are we going to take a break? Or how do you want to do this?
We can keep going. That's fine. I want to thank Jennings. I want to thank Fadley's. I want to thank our friends at State Fair for sponsoring us and allowing us to be a part of doing this and having this incredible first 99 episode.
Well, let's talk for a minute about our sponsors. And I tell folks, it has been really great to partner, and that list is growing, but to partner with some really quality people. Let's start with Fadley's. And we talk with Bill and Nancy Devine in their 80s, just going strong. I tell folks that Bill's still down in Fadley's. If you haven't been to Fadley's and had that crab cake, Nestor will tell you also to get the fried fish. Absolutely incredible. Some collard greens, deviled eggs, incredible, coleslaw, just amazing stuff.
Pick out a piece of fish and take it across the counter and they make it for it.
Amazing. But here's Bill Devine in his 80s. The only way you get to Bill's office, people know this because Fadley's, everything's right there, is you climb up into a crow's nest on a ladder.
Reminds me of climbing into the press box at the Civic Center with Kenny Albert.
Amazing. But, you know, and their daughter, Damie Hahn, who's down there every day working hard. Here's what I've learned from the Fadley's folks.
Go ahead.
And it's why I'm so passionate about getting folks, go down there,
they
have some oysters.
They need a good mayor, too.
They need a good mayor.
They do.
I mean,
they do.
But boy, do they believe in Baltimore City. Nestor, what did we hear from them?
Pigs, not chickens.
They now employ 3 and 4 generations of employees whose moms and dads and grandparents themselves have worked at Fadley's. They're knocking themselves out each and every day. And they introduced us to an issue that makes us crazy, and we hope they're making some headway. I know a whole congressional delegation is trying to help them, from Dutch to John Sarbanes to Senator Cardin to Senator Van Hollen.
And this is affected my friends and Al Stephen.
It's a national issue.
This is affected. This is in Essex, too. This isn't
the federal government right now. The federal government has decided that people in need who need help with food and food stamps so that they can survive may not use those food stamps in municipal markets. It's absolutely insane. So I can go to the Giant, or I can go to Mars and buy a piece of fish.
You can go to Royal Farms.
And buy some fruit. I can do all of that in those places, but I can't go to Fadley's to buy fish, fresh food, or fried chicken, or salad, or fruit. It's a ridiculous situation, particularly in a city that experiences food deserts.
Maybe this is really the jumping off point of where, you know, I really have learned a lot that I think it's easy to sit in the suburbs and say, those are just poor people. But what happens when we don't lift our weakest and our poorest up? When that happens, that's when crime happens. That's when poverty happens. That we need to lift people up. And I don't understand how our government, and this is the part, the last 3 years, the meanness. When did it become cool to be a mean American?
To make fun of disabled people. To make fun of people who don't look like us.
I took the bus everywhere.
And a shout out to former Governor O'Malley, who didn't put up with it the other night in the Dubliner, who addressed the Homeland Security Secretary, basically saying, you're the guy
people
that
in
put
cages look
kids
like me.
In cages.
They look like
yeah.
me. They all look like
you
me.
You put brown people in cages. And son of a gun, that's not what our founding fathers had in mind. That's not who we are. So a shout out
to former
Governor Martin O'Malley.
About more than anything else is just sort of what will we do with our poorest, our weakest, our least educated, our most vulnerable? Who are we going to be? We cannot let these people perish. We must lift them up. And that needs to be a basic premise for not just Baltimore, any city in the country. And as I go around the country, now I go around the world, one of the reasons we're taping this, I'm going to be on the side of the world, it is how you tell everything about a society as to how they treat their elderly, how they treat their children, how they treat their disabled, how they treat their mentally challenged.
Nestor, as you know, I wrote a recent blog, and again, for those of you listening, if you haven't checked out the blog, on the front porch, go to donmoeller.com, really easy. You'll see this and that on the front porch. Hope you'll subscribe to that as well. But in a recent blog, I wrote about that whether we like it or not, November the 3rd, 2020, will be about decency. And I choose to believe, I have to, the positive part of me, the optimistic part of me
has to believe that
on November the 3rd, the American public will say, I'm exhausted, this isn't who we are, and I'm voting for decency. In all honesty, all of these policy discussions, they're important and they matter, but on the big picture things, we can get to the middle if cooler heads prevail. But what I think this is where, and this is not an endorsement, but I think what the former vice president, what Joe Biden said, where he was absolutely accurate, was that one term of Donald Trump will be a blip. It will be an aberration. It will be a footnote in history. Two terms of Donald Trump has the potential to alter the arc of this nation for decades to come. That's a terrifying thought. And again, to me, it's not Democrat or Republican.
It's about honesty and truth and justice and where we are. And that's going to take us into 2020. I mean, this is going to be the deciding year for how the rest of my life gets led as a Baltimorean and as an American, which is why I'm taking some time right now to think about things and think about what does my life look like if the next mayor is going to prison, if the next president is this guy or some descendant of this guy who is leading our society completely down a path that should revolt our parents, not should activate their inner Archie Bunker.
We talked about the truth is your friend, Nestor, a little while ago. Now I think the latest count, whether you agree or disagree, whether you think the president should be impeached or not impeached, put all of that aside, in about 3 years, he's been in office now about 3 years, he's now up over 11,000 lies. And for some reason, 40.
You know how many lies you get in a relationship?
Oh,
with
my.
Me?
I told you one.
You might get two if I can forgive the first one.
You're easier than me.
If I can forgive the first one.
You're easier than me. You get one. And it's what I always told my children. This man is up to 11,000 lies. And that's why this 40 to 45% who has decided that because Donald Trump is supposed to be a disruptor and therefore hates anything that leans progressive at all, we have to put up with all of the rest. And my message to them is, you don't have to put up with all of the rest. We've had Democratic presidents, we've had Republican presidents, we've had conservative presidents, we've had liberal presidents, we've had moderate presidents, but we've never had a president that's this base, that's this crass, that's this ugly with everything that he does. I mean, Nestor, people were speechless the other day.
Well, I mean,
if you didn't know this was true, you'd say, stop it. It's ridiculous. You're making it up. We have a president who put out an official tweet of his head superimposed on the body of Rocky Balboa. Now, what is wrong with that picture? It's insanity.
Everything.
It's insanity. What is happening?
Well, that's where we're going in 2020. So you wonder why Baltimore Positive. It all started a year ago. We're now 100 episodes into this. We will continue and move forward. And
well, let's talk real quick before we run. We do a little bit again. If you haven't subscribed, if you haven't checked it out, phenomenal people. We haven't even talked, and I want to talk briefly about the congressional race we're going to have. We're going to try to take a day where we interview all the candidates for the 7th congressional.
Two of them live in my building.
The 7th congressional district.
19?
So we'll invite, by the way, to those candidates, we are beginning to schedule that. We hope to do that in the middle of January. So to the candidates and their staffs, reach out either to Nestor and me. You can reach Nestor at ness@baltimorepositive.com. You can reach me at don@donmower.com. Can't get any easier. Get in touch with us. We'll get you scheduled. We want to hear from every candidate. In terms of, and we'll end with, I guess, the mayoral candidates. But before we do that, Nestor, I want to talk about some of the people doing the hard work. You and I have been blown away by the decent people in Baltimore City. And you know where I'm going to start, because I have absolutely fallen in love with a group called Thread, led by Sarah Heminger. I've been inspired many, many times in my life. I don't know that I've ever spent 2 hours where I was more inspired than the time you and I sat with Sarah. If you don't know what Sarah Heminger is doing at Thread,
thread.org.
Please, it's a wonderful time in the holidays. Not only check them out, think about volunteering. Think about giving back. Think about giving them a donation. Here's the bottom line. Sarah Heminger, 15 years ago, was driving through poverty each and every day in East Baltimore, going to Hopkins, where she was a biomedical engineering student. She says to her husband, I can't ignore this every day. We have to make a difference. We have to do something. And with no experience, no background in this, she starts a group called Thread, where she basically surrounds the neediest of the children in Baltimore City public schools coming into the 9th grade each and every year. She doesn't pick the honor society. She doesn't pick the easy kids. She picks kids who basically hadn't passed the class.
Or as we say, she saves
souls. In middle school. She saves souls. And 15 years later, 547 children have been in the program. No one has left. Every single child has graduated, and every single child has gone to college. If you don't think Baltimore can be transformed, then you haven't learned about Thread. And then you've got Reverend Al Hathaway doing the good work each and every day, addressing affordable housing, knowing that housing is key to everything, Nestor.
Well, everything. I've talked to Damian O'Doherty about this, and this is an issue in Howard County. This is an issue in San Francisco. I was out in California last week, right? This is a national issue, just like opioids. We talked to Dr. Lena Wen.
Amazing.
We've hit every nerve.
Dr. Santelises, who's going to be on in a couple of days, she gave us hope about the Baltimore City public schools.
Great.
I mean, she lit up. And you know, the key to what Dr. Santelises said, she was talking about Poly just won, was nationally recognized, one of the top STEM schools in the entire country. By the way, we can't get out of here without letting you rant a little bit about Kerwin. But one of the top, STEM schools in the entire nation. And what she said was, I'm so proud of Poly, went on and on. She said, but I won't rest till every child in Poly is getting that same education. And until we have that caliber of education in every one of our schools. We had Chris Battaglia on the street over there at Ben Franklin High School at a community school, making a difference, doing the hard work. Again, check out Ben Franklin. Look at the incredible stuff that Chris is doing. I mean, these are people. We go down the list. We had Adam Rosenberg from the Child Abuse Center, Frank Kolarik, yep, from Field of Dreams. We had Debbie Phelps talking about the great work that's happening.
We're going through all the episodes. Yeah, I mean, there's been 100 episodes. I mean, so he's incredible. Sit here and name them all.
Yeah, the people, but the point being,
that you forgot people, Maggie McIntosh.
People, Maggie's incredible. We go right down the list. 100 episodes. Check them out. Listen, two things left. I think.
Okay.
Real quick.
I thought Kerwin, you had one thing left.
I do want to just talk a little bit. I want to ask, because I have a question for you that you don't know that's coming. But you and I
you better
think
hurry. I got to go to the bathroom.
I think it's safe to say that you and I have been, I want to be kind about it. We've been perplexed at the governor's, and the governor's a friend of yours. Just for those of you who think that this is all Democrats all the time.
Oh, my
Nestor's
God.
Nestor's personal friends with Bob Ehrlich. I had a good relationship with Bob Ehrlich.
Bob was at my wedding.
Nestor is very fond of the governor, obviously another cancer survivor. They have a special relationship. So it's not that you don't have a relationship, but we are confused. And the recent Sun editorial laid it out. What is in it, as you say, for the governor to be the guy fighting improving education in the state of Maryland?
I don't understand the part where they're going to put together dark money and PAC money and super PAC to fight education. Like, I like to be neutral and to say, hey, we can't afford it. That's one thing. To be the budget governor, I get that. You know, I get that. Larry's the budget governor. Then you go in and say, all right, well, we'll do this, but what are we cutting?
You go sit down with Speaker of the House, Adrian Jones, and President Bill Ferguson, and Delegate Maggie McIntosh, and you roll your sleeves up, and you say, how do we make this happen? And a word to the wise, and my good friend, our good friend at KO Public Affairs, Damien O'Doherty, has been right on this. And again, I want to give a shout out to David Hornbeck, who's out there fighting the good fight every day. If you haven't listened to David, check out his stuff at Strong Schools Maryland. But Damien has really sent out a clarion call to the Baltimore and Maryland business community. Don't be bullied into being on the wrong side of this. Don't buy what the governor's selling about Kerwin being
raising
unaffordable.
Raising everybody's taxes $10,000. That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. As Bill Ferguson and Maggie McIntosh said, the governor's numbers, and again, please, we want the governor on. We'll give the governor equal time. We'd love to sit down with him.
I'll give more than equal
his,
time. How about
hear
that?
His side.
I'll
give him more than equal time.
There you go.
But you can't make up numbers. You just can't. And to the business community, I say pay attention to Damien O'Doherty and others who say don't be on the wrong side of this. So real quick, before we get out.
What's the most important thing we do? Let me get my two cents in on
that.
Please
do.
I've said it a million times. You want to fix the city? Fix education. Education will fix crime. You know, go back to Nancy Grassmick. Go back to any place that's been better. You know, one thing when I go to places and I say, hey, how'd this place get better? Well, we improved the schools.
Absolutely.
We made the schools better.
Absolutely.
We made our children better. We created better little human beings, right? That's what hopefully our parents did for us in the 50s and 60s.
No
right?
doubt about hopefully. It. We've got to do it. And we it's been done other places. Take a look at Massachusetts and the success that they've had. One of the things, Nestor, I know you've become very close with these folks as well. I do want to thank Evan Brown at State Fair in Catonsville. If you have not been by State Fair either for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Is that you're calling me? I haven't been by in about a week. I got to get over there.
Oh, man, you got to get over. I mean, they're just doing great things. And I said, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
My wife got the Monte Cristo. Can I brag on that? That's like French. Go get the Monte Cristo.
And when you go, sounds weird. People are going to hold their nose. Brussels sprouts. You've got to try the Brussels sprouts. And then, if you want one of the best cheeseburgers, Nestor will tell you, and one of the best crab cakes, right? I mean, we got Fadley's with the outstanding crab cake, and then we've got Steve Ampieri at Jennings, and what he's doing.
He's got beer.
With crab cakes and
beer.
Burgers and, I mean,
and beer.
Just great, great food. So we've got great sponsors.
Nestor, and Miss Peggy.
And Miss Peggy. And you got to go give Miss Peggy a hug. Nestor, what have you, as we wind it up and we come to the end of an hour
I'm
here.
I'm going to cut this into two segments.
What do you... I've got some thoughts, but I want to hear yours first. What have you taken away from the three mayoral candidates that we've interviewed so far? We got TJ coming on soon. We want to reach out to Mary Washington as well. But what have you learned from Mayor Young, Council President Scott, and Tharu Vignaraja? Because I have some thoughts on each one, and I'm just curious what you've learned so far.
I think themes of crime and themes of, well, crime and grime was what Jack said, right? So our current mayor says crime and grime. I'll agree with that it begins with that. Tharu Vignaraja is about violent crime and prosecution and criminals off the street. And I think one thing I've learned over the year, and I learned this more from some people who are Hogan people who have been perplexed with Hogan, quite frankly, which is when criminals come out of jail, they come back to the city, they came out of a state system. So, the state system needs to be cleaned up for criminality. Because so much what we talk about is crime. I mean, we go back to Booger McFarland and The Wire and all of that. Crime. And then the education part that they all want to talk about. And finally, I guess the Baltimore Ravens had to step up to give HVAC to children trying to learn this winter. Yeah. And look, you ran Baltimore County. You know how expensive it is. I think when we had Brandon on, right, Brandon talked about putting in, it just sounds like, we got to have heat in the elementary schools. Take a building that was built in 1942 and try to put heat in it, right?
Nestor, it's not millions. It's billions. And again, we had Speaker of the House Adrian Jones. First two bills going to be Kerwin and school construction. Incredibly important. Here's my takeaway from the three candidates so far. First of all, I'm encouraged. I think we're going to have a great discussion. I think there are folks that are really, I think if the public pays attention and votes, and I can't say it enough, vote. It's ridiculous in the United States of America, the percentage of people who don't vote. But I think from the
current... And there's some of the same people who don't have a passport to go other places to see what it's like
it's not a shame.
Have that privilege. Or my mother, who was born in 1919, without that privilege to vote, right?
Right, absolutely. So, I drilled it into my kids' head from the time. Actually, I remember taking them into the voting booth as children. Please vote. But anyway, my takeaways are this.
You could tell Ted Venatoulis that I campaigned against him in 76.
And Ted's coming on. Actually, we've had some fun with the Where Are They Now segment. Ted's still very, very much involved. Close friends, obviously, with
Speaker. Did we campaign against Hutchinson or Venatoulis? I'm not sure.
What year?
78, 76,
That would have been Ted.
Yeah.
That would have been Ted.
Well, my uncle ran.
Well, we're going to have...
He was crazy. He shouldn't have won.
We're going to have Ted on.
I got involved in politics when my uncle, who lived in my house, ran for Baltimore County.
And we're going to have you mentioned
Don. You don't even know that story, do you?
I do not.
Well, you know now.
Another day. So, and
I'm not going to tell that story.
we're going to have Don Hutchinson on, talking about his great career. One of the folks with real insights into not only Baltimore politics, but the
My whole thing was how to lead
nonprofit,
lead and what makes it. So you asked me about these
Grady,
three candidates.
Who's better than Don?
That I like really smart people. And Jack and Brandon and Tharu, who we've had on, and we'll have more of the candidates on as well.
Well, we love
these are plugged in people, as are Ben Cardin and Dutch Ruppersberger, to learn.
Chris Van Hollen, John Sarbanes, they were incredible.
I want to learn.
And again, I think you and
it's
I both loved.
Me.
I
was bad government. Has affected my life.
Everything.
Right? So everybody out there, bad government has screwed up my life. It screwed up the value of my home. It screwed up the value of my business. It screwed up my future. That's why I'm doing this. At heart, I'm 51 now. I think about these things, you know?
Well, here's my takeaways. I know you think, here's a few takeaways so far. Please go on and listen to each of these candidates. Begin to make your own decisions. With Mayor Jack Young, I think you and I both loved his story where he was driving down MLK Boulevard one day and a young person in a car in front of him threw some trash, a McDonald's wrapper or something out on the street, and he says to his security detail, follow that car and pull him over. And they go, and the security detail walks out and says, that's the mayor behind you. He saw you throw trash. He cares about this city. You need to care about this city. So I'm going to follow you back until you pick that trash up and throw it away. We love that story because that was a sweat the small stuff.
It's a Mayor Schaefer story.
It's Schaefer-esque. and it was the mayor saying, I care about this city. And by golly, I'm going to roll my sleeves up. We like that. We thought that was encouraging. Brandon Scott, I think I came away. I think you did as well. His story about growing up in Park Heights and getting on that bus
and
every
coming
day,
through Lexington Market,
going through and stepping over bodies from time to time, taking the bus to Mervo
as a 14-year-old child, literally
an hour and a half a day, going to track practice, going to coaching class, going to SAT prep,
earning an opportunity to go to college,
and then coming, getting home about 8 o'clock at night, and doing it again. And the fact that Brandon, we asked him, why now, Brandon? I remember this question specifically. We said, why now, Brandon? Why? Some people say it's not your turn yet. And he said, I've got to do it now because Baltimore can't wait. And when you hear Brandon say that, you go, this guy is worthy of having people pay attention because his life experiences speak to why he wants to be mayor and why he cares. And then just recently, we had Tharu Vigneraja on, former deputy state's
Tharu
attorney.
Tharu is episode 93, 94, and 95. So, I want to give everybody the episode numbers as we go backwards here.
So Tharu's
three
what?
Of the mayor candidates on.
Tharu's 93, 94, 95. So as you're looking for the others, I would tell people that with Tharu, what I think you and I were both struck by, again, what an incredible American story. An immigrant ends up at Harvard, ends up the president of the Harvard Law Review. Just amazing. We joked with him that he and President Obama were president of the Harvard Law Review. I think his passion for education, his passion for the city, and what I was struck by, Nestor, with Tharu, and again, I said we're not endorsing anyone at this point, go out and listen to them all, was that his 20-point crime plan was real. If people ask you, go to Tharu.com, right? Go to Tharu2020.com and look at the crime plan. And he looked us in the eye, and I'll tell you what, if he's elected mayor, we'll be the first to hold him to this. What did Tharu tell us? He said, bottom line is,
under 200.
I don't get it under 200, I won't run again.
By the way, I want to give a shameless plug for an upcoming episode. December 12th, the day that the Ravens play the Jets, we're going to have Commissioner Harrison on. This is the crime reduction and departmental transformation plan for Baltimore that I've seen him speak a few times as well. Episodes 22, 3, and 4 are Mayor Jack Young in the Baltimore Positive Catalog. And Brandon Scott is episodes 60, 61, and 62. I mean, we're talking about a good hour and a half to each one of these candidates. By all means,
here's
that's
your
what
homework.
Baltimore Positive is all about.
And there's your homework.
There you go.
Baltimore
right.
Positive. Nestor, you're off to Asia.
Off to Asia.
Happy holidays, buddy.
All right, man.
See, let's do it. 100. Let's do 100 more.
We'll do 101 soon.
One more shout out to our sponsors. Who are they?
Jennings, State Fair, Fadley's. We're back at Fadley's with Police Commissioner Harrison on the 12th. We have plenty more to say in 2020. We're not going anywhere. We are Baltimore Positive and WNST.net. He's Don. I'm Nestor. We're back for more right after this.